In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today is the seventh day in the season of Christmas. So we will be hearing about seven swans a-swimming later in the sermon, I promise. The Christmas season ends this Saturday, January 6th, with the Feast of Epiphany, which we will celebrate this coming Sunday, and which you will all get your Epiphany stars. Can't you wait? How many of you still have your stars? Yay, yes, I had mine up on my bulletin board, and I'm hoping I will not get generosity for the third year in a row, okay? Please, pray for me. I want another fruit. Okay, we'll pray. We'll... So you'll get those next week along with your Epiphany house blessing and holy water and all that we do each year. Now, while the liturgical calendar has already celebrated New Year, and when was that? First Sunday of Advent, so way back then, the pull of our global calendar is strong. And maybe as you're looking ahead, I mean, tomorrow is 2024. Oh my gosh. You might be happy to see 2023 depart. You might not be ready for 2024. Maybe it would be kind of nice to take a break. Could we just stop the world? Take a break, get organized, and then dive back in. That would be really nice. I would love that. But now we look ahead to what this new year brings. And at this time, of course, we're all talking about resolutions or setting intentions or creating dream boards or marking the changing of the year with listing our hopes, what we want to do or accomplish. All of these are good things. Exercise, spend less, be more loving, learn a language, rekindle a hobby, reach out to friends, eat healthy, reconcile with a family member, make more money, write a book, set boundaries, be thankful, pray more, be a better disciple, serve more, and on and on, and I'm already exhausted. But we also know, sadly, that most of the resolutions we make don't last beyond the first few weeks of January. I mean, statistically, they've done studies, they just don't last. The resolutions just don't continue. So I would like for you to turn to the person next to you and share one hope or one resolution that you have for this coming year. One hope or one resolution. And while world peace would be lovely, don't say that, okay? That's really general. I would like for you to be specific and personal about this, as personal as you feel comfortable sharing. And I'm going to share a very personal one, because I was just with my family. I hope my dad's cancer stays in remission. And I resolve to spend more time with them this coming year. So share among yourselves, what is a hope or a resolution? Okay, let's hear a few. Somebody yell out one loudly. Lose weight, okay, lose weight. What else? Say that again. Be on time more, okay? Yep. Survive, just survive 2024. Did you say something about this? No. You okay? Others? Okay, so continue as we're going as a church. Continue on that path of renewal. Yeah? Okay? What else?
Kids,
grandkids. Okay, stay connected with kids and grandkids. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Right. Our passages this morning tell us something. powerful about God. And actually, it's also in our songs that I chose for this morning. God is interested in our hopes and in our lives. Our hopes are important to God. And how do we know this? Because God didn't want to interact with us as a voice on the mountain, but with a human voice and face. God didn't want to have to have us tell him about our lives and hopes, but actually to share what it was like to have those hopes in our skin. God loved us so much, loves us so much, that a God who is timeless and beyond our small four dimensions of existence came into our small world. God became human. God moved into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson says in his Message translation of the passage we just heard. Moved into the neighborhood. Because God wanted to love us as son, as friend, as brother, as neighbor, as teacher, as healer, as human. And so we can root our hopes in this love that God has shown us. Now, it was wonderful for me to be with my parents the last 2 weeks. I missed you all, and I heard we had the highest number of people for a Christmas Eve service in years, 68 people. That's amazing, amazing, and a sign of that renewal. There are many signs, but that is a sign of renewal. I was sad to miss it, yet I was so happy to be with them the first Christmas in over 6 years that I had spent with them. And it was so much better than a Zoom call or a phone call, you know, that distance. We were able to share life together. And in a smaller way, when I got home, my cat, Minerva, attached herself to me like Velcro. And even as I was writing this sermon, she was as close to me as was physically possible, literally leaning against this hand as I was trying to type, without laying across the computer keyboard. We actually had to have a conversation about that. No, you will not be laying on the keyboard. I need to write a sermon. And there are times when I wish for just a moment I could join her in her catness so that I could understand her in a way that I can't right now, and that she could understand me in a way that she can't. But we do the best that we can. We're different, though. But God took on our humanity so that he could share this life with us, and so that when we look at Jesus, we see the face of God's love for us, so that we could speak the same language and that there wasn't distance between us. So now, as promised, a story about swans a-swimming, believe it or not. At Wells Cathedral in England, there is a lake in a garden on the bishop's house's property of the cathedral. And there's a window that literally, if you were to open it up and you were to jump out, you would jump right into the lake. So there is no land in between the lake and the window. And in the 1850s, the bishop's daughter decided to start feeding the swans that lived on the lake. And there was a bell next to the window that she had installed. And the swans learned to come up and pull the cord of the bell and ring it, and she would come to the window and feed them. She did that with the first generation. They then taught their children. And their children, coming back year after year, they come back to the same place to nest and raise their young, taught their children. And to this day, the swans at Wells Cathedral Garden swim up to the bell and ring it, and they are fed. It's pretty amazing. And no harm is being done to these swans. They're given a very good food that's appropriate for swans. But they keep coming to this window because they know that food is good, and they keep teaching their children to come to this window. And we come each week to this altar because we know the food is good. We know that we are fed and sustained by the body and blood of Christ, and that this is a place of nourishment. Jesus didn't just come to be with us, but to sustain us. Laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough for the animals. Laid in a manger in a town of Bethlehem, which is house of bread. In Hebrew, Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? God comes to us to be known by us, to know us, and to feed us. And our resolutions for 2024, if it depends only on our strength, will most likely fail. And our hopes don't always come to pass. But when we go to God with our hopes and our resolutions, then we find sustenance that we need to carry us through, no matter what. Whether we keep our resolutions or not, or we have our hopes realized or not. So let's get practical. How might we depend on God to sustain us in 2024? So here's some suggestions. The first I've already mentioned. Come again and frequently to this altar and be fed. This is our spiritual food. This is what we pray. And it is rightly called Eucharist, which is thankfulness or thanksgiving. So the first thing is start with gratitude. We often make our resolutions by looking around at what we're not doing or we don't have. I encourage you to look around to what you do have. Where is there love and peace and hope and joy or other fruits of the Spirit already there? Where is that smallest spark of God's presence with you? Be thankful for that. Focus on that. And what we have found, scientifically actually, that when we focus on what we're thankful for, that seems to expand. We find more things to be thankful for. And this leads us to the second thing. Look for God. Where do you see God at work already? Often we'll have a list of improvements we want to do to ourselves, to our friends, to our family, to our world. But God has a different perspective. God sees all things. And so when we connect with where God is already working, it may be the fact that we see something over here that we really, really want to change, but God is actually over here saying, come on, help me, over here. Maybe we say, I'm going to add an hour of scripture study every single day to my life. If you're not doing that right now, don't do that, okay? God might be saying to you, just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, not an hour. Start small. Start small. The third thing is resolve to love others. Often, and our culture supports this, we do a lot of things in order to earn something from others. Their love, their respect, their support, just good feeling. And that's okay. There's some good things about that. But when you're asking yourself, why am I doing this thing? See about doing something just for the love of that person, just for that love, no matter what the response will be. A fourth thing, and you've heard me say this before, pair your practice, Compare your practice. It's very hard to build a new habit. So if you want to start that 5 minutes of scripture study or 5 minutes of prayer, pair it with something else you're already doing. I drink tea every morning. Do not bother me before I have a cup of tea. I pair my practice of prayer with that tea because both of those go together. I always have a cup of tea, so I always pray in the morning. Maybe you always run in the morning or walk in the morning or exercise. You can pair your prayer with that. Maybe you want to read more, so you pair it with something else that you already are doing in your life. So the two go together. So, to review, start with gratitude. And one of the best places to start with gratitude is this altar every week. But look around, see what you're thankful for. Then, second, look for God. Third, resolve to love others. Love others. And fourth, pair your practice. What you're already doing paired with something you want to add. I hope you are hearing our lives are important to God. If you take one thing away from this sermon, our lives are important to God. And God promises to sustain us as good food throughout our lives. And as we come to this altar this morning, I encourage you just a small way, a small prayer. Lord, feed me. Lord, sustain me for 2024. Amen.